I want to thank Illinois State Representative Grant Worley, who's joining us this morning. He's a member of the Special Investigation Committee you've been hearing so much about in relationship to Speaker Madigan. First, Representative Worley, first, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning, Tom.
I don't often have the problem where I with what the first question is going to be, but there's so much of this that I found I hardly know where to start. Let's do this. The SIC, the Special Investigation Committee, three Democrats, three Republicans. The makeup.
Yes. Well, so that's by design. Under the House rules, under Speaker Madigan, this is truly the only truly bipartisan committee that is put forward. However, it is chaired by a Democrat out of Chicago, Representative Chris Welch. And right now, Chris Welch is doing nothing but stonewalling. We're trying to get subpoenas issued, and he's choosing to take the path of acting as a human shield to protect Speaker Madigan. We're trying to get those subpoenas moving, but it's clearly up to this, up to Chris Welch as to what we do on a go-forward basis.
I have to admit that one day I had just a small high-speed come apart whenever I heard the phrase, well, they can call witnesses, but they can't ask them any questions. And I'm like, what, only in Illinois?
So that, we reached out to the U.S. attorney out of Chicago, and he indicated that absolutely that's not correct. We can call witnesses. They can testify. What the federal government and the FBI has asked us not to do is ask for any documents that any potential witnesses received from the government or anything that may lead to, if anybody's giving immunity, any deals that have been made so to shield somebody from prosecution in these cases. But we can absolutely call witnesses such as Speaker Madigan. We can ask them questions. And they also have the right to invoke their Fifth Amendment right if they choose not to testify against themselves. So we can ask questions, and I would hope for the sake of Illinois that anybody that is associated with this Special Investigations Committee demands that we get people to come and testify in front of us and shed some light on the corruption, the patronage jobs, everything that's going on with Commonwealth Edison. And it's not just Commonwealth Edison. It's also we hear of AT&T and Walgreens and Rush Hospital in Chicago, and now we just learned that it might be the Chicago Teachers Pension Fund where these patronage jobs and schemes of employment orchestrated by Speaker Madigan are taking place.
I find one of the more interesting issues is Fidel Marquez. He is Intergovernmental Affairs for ComEd, formerly anyway, and $1.6 million in monies, bribery. And then the claim by investigators of $150 million in legislative benefits, the term that was used in published reports. When I read that $1.6 million figure in 150, I think, first off, good investment. Right? Get that, if you want to look at it that way. But I also kind of come to the conclusion that when you see this kind of money flying around and only one party is charged, that it takes two to tango.
It absolutely does. And that's why the speaker and others are apprehensive to come and testify. Now, Fidel Marquez, we did request that he come and testify in front of us. And his letter stated that he could not make it last Tuesday when we were in Springfield, because he was going to be in federal court pleading guilty to conspiracy to commit bribery. However, his letter did indicate to us that he is willing to come and testify. Clearly, he's cut a deal with the federal prosecutors, and he's willing to talk about what he's done. But you're absolutely right. $1.6 million in alleged bribery, all to benefit Commonwealth Edison to the tune of $150 million. I think that's actually a little light on that side. And keep in mind that ComEd has agreed to pay a $200 million fine in what's called their deferred prosecution agreement that outlines public official A 72 times of corruption and conspiracy to commit corruption. So this is not going the way the speaker wants it. And that's why Representative Chris Welch is stonewalling and doing whatever he can to keep testimony from occurring in public. And that's unfortunate for all the residents in Illinois.
All right. Now, when it comes to this, can we safely say, or is it accurate to say, that the speaker's refusal to testify, that he has implicitly taken the fifth?
Well, so we received a three-page letter from the speaker, and first and foremost, the speaker usually keeps his letters to a page at best. And so for him to write a three-page letter, clearly he is feeling the heat over what is going on here. If the speaker wants to come and plead the fifth, then do so under oath in a public forum for all to see. Don't write a letter saying that I'm not going to come and testify, and, oh, by the way, I'm not guilty of anything. Clearly he's a target. Clearly he's implicated in these schemes to defraud and schemes to commit bribery. So if he wants to invoke his Fifth Amendment, which is absolutely his right, he needs to do that in a public forum so everyone can see what's going on. Keep in mind that Blagojevich and then Derek Smith, a state representative that was found guilty of bribery for $7,000, refusal to come and testify in front of these special investigative committees as things go forward are grounds to consider when going forward to remove them from the House, or in the governor's case, obviously the governor's mansion. Refusal to testify is weighted evidence that if someone is not willing to come and clear up their record, then people need to consider that when they're moving forward through this process.
Will you subpoena the rest of the committee? Subpoena Speaker Madigan?
That is our intent. We have pushed subpoenas in front of Chris Welch. These are not for documents. These are just for certain individuals to come and publicly testify. Chris Welch and the other two, Natalie Manley and Elizabeth Hernandez, have chosen to act as a firewall to the speaker and others. And that's not right. Ethics matter always. Every resident in the state of Illinois has a right to know what is going on here. And for those three to hold up the investigative process for political gains is unconscionable to me. So we are working along those lines. The three Republicans on the committee have put subpoenas in front of Representative Chris Welch to see if he would agree to those terms. They're very basic, simple things. Chris is a lawyer. He should be able to see that all we want is public testimony. And his refusal to do so casts a cloud all over the state of Illinois.
Representative Grant Worley is a member of the Special Investigation Committee, of course, investigating Speaker Mike Madigan. And what I find interesting is, as I read more and more about how this was done, $1,000 here and a job where somebody doesn't do anything and it'll go through this lobbying firm to this, the inherent convoluted nature of this process makes the investigation almost mind-bending to be able to follow all the tentacles.
It's a challenge, but I used to read about 12 books a year before I became a member of the General Assembly, and now I find that I'm reading more and more federal legal documents, and it's Hollywood cannot write a script that is as complex and convoluted as what we're actually seeing play out in Illinois. They use shell companies to hide money to lobbyists. And they circumvented ComEd's own internal controls in order to funnel money to a select group of individuals, that all in effort to parlay favor with the speaker and others. Sooner or later, history will look back on this, and it will not be kind, not only to Speaker Madigan, but probably the three members of Democratic members of the Special Investigations Committee. They have a choice to do the right thing, and they're choosing to not do that. And time will not judge them kindly, in my opinion.
You know, when I read about Fidel Marquez and his plea, and yes, Your Honor, I plead guilty, and how much money that goes on there, and that the prosecutors aren't asking for jail time, well, it's still in the Associated Press report that he's potentially up against $300 million in fines, but, we're not going to ask for jail time. I mean, what that represents as far as cooperation has to be tantalizing, I would think, for people who want to prosecute the speaker, that there's something going on in the investigation more and wanting to know what it is.
I agree. I'm of the opinion that not only is Commonwealth Edison through the deferred prosecution agreement cooperating with the federal investigation, but I believe personally that Fidel Marquez is now cooperating, and that does not bode well for people such as Mike McClain, who is Madigan's top confidant. It does not bode well for Ann Pramaggiore, the former CEO of Commonwealth Edison. She has a higher threshold of sentencing along federal guidelines, so she has to really be feeling the heat right now. And Speaker Madigan, he's at the center of this all. People are saying that he doesn't have any direct connection with what was going on. I totally disagree. If you read the deferred prosecution agreement, there are some phrases in there that clearly indicate the speaker has knowledge of what was going on. And same thing with the Fidel Marquez agreement. If you read that, there is a clear link between Speaker Madigan and what was going on here. So I think the circle is getting ever smaller around the speaker. I believe right now all they're trying to do is delay this past the election. They're targeting people such as myself with millions of dollars in campaign finance for my opponent, and it's all in an effort to silence anyone that wants to get to the truth in this matter.
Is breach of trust really the phrase that we're looking at, or is it insufficient to the task once you've begun in your investigation? That phrase, breach of public trust, seems insufficient in some ways.
Well, but that's the rules in which we have. Breach of public trust or conduct unbecoming. Those are truly the things that we have in the House rules to judge each other, which is another reason why I've been pushing so hard for ethics reform. The state of Illinois, our ethics laws are weak at best, and ever since I took office, I've been trying to strengthen our ethics laws. Ethics matter always, and that has been met with stonewalling and delay the entire time I've been in session. We were supposed to have a report on another committee I'm on done by the end of March, March 31st, and because of COVID, that was missed. I understand that, but we haven't met since early March to address the massive conflicts of interest, the massive loopholes in our ethics laws. And that's all by design, in my opinion. The Democrats in charge, Chicago Democrats, do not want to be held accountable. They prefer the system the way it is. Corruption to them is a feature, not a bug. And I am in stark contrast to that. I think Illinois, we need better laws to represent all 12.8 million residents of Illinois instead of just a few Chicago Democrats that control power now.
Final question for Grant Worley, our state representative on the special investigation committee involved with the Speaker Madigan investigation. What's next, Grant?
Well, we are in contact with Representative Chris Welch. We need to schedule another meeting in Springfield, so we're going to keep the pressure on. Failure to act is a failure for us all, and we're not going to let that happen. If he chooses to not issue subpoenas, then that's on him. We're going to continue to hold hearings and continue to root out corruption. We're not going to let them deter us in our efforts to bring good government to the state of Illinois.